Hi, this is Dean Koontz, and welcome to my podcast. I thought I'd talk today a little bit about The Good Guy and why I wrote it, because people always ask you, why did you write that book? They usually do it in a pleasant voice, not in a voice that is, why did you write that damn book? So they genuinely have a curiosity about the creative process, and I respect that because as a young writer struggling to figure out how to do it, I had a lot of curiosity about how other writers did it. The Good Guy came to me because I had been advising young writers for some time that in today's marketplace, you need to do high-concept ideas. The old style of breaking in doesn't work anymore, writing good books, writing them as tightly as you can, writing them as well as you can, doesn't necessarily win you any plaudits in the marketplace. It's a very competitive field out there. And to break in, you need to have high concept. And I always mention Jurassic Park as the highest concept of all high concepts. High concept idea is one you can sum up in a few sentences, preferably one or two, and everybody must read it. Of course, in Jurassic Park, it's scientists have cloned dinosaurs from ancient DNA, and now the dinosaurs are loose. There's two sentences, and it makes you want to read that book. So I tell young writers, if you can do that, you're going to be way ahead of the game because publishers want high concepts that they can promote and publicize and talk about succinctly. Well, I got criticized by a number of writers I told that to who said, yeah, but you don't write high concept books. How do you sum up One Door Away from Heaven in two sentences? Or how do you sum up From the Corner of His Eye in two sentences? Or The Face? And they would start rattling off the names of my books, and I realized this was true, and it made me wonder if I could actually do high concept. One of the reasons movies have not worked terribly well for me is there's five movies worth of story in one of my books, and by the time they carve one movie out, none of it makes any sense. So starting a few books ago, I think it was with Velocity, I thought, let me see if I can think of a high concept idea that I would actually want to write, because I think high concept, as I said to these young writers, can be just as profound, it can be just as valuable a piece of fiction as anything that is not high concept. But I hadn't proved it, so I thought, let me see if I can do that. And Velocity was the first of those, and The Husband was the second of those, and The Good Guy is the third of them, where I start with a concept that's easily given to somebody who's thinking about buying the book. They can read it in two or three sentences and say, well, that's intriguing. And the concept of The Good Guy is mistaken identity. Some guy is having a drink in a bar. Somebody comes in expecting to hire a hitman. They mistake him for the hitman. They give him an envelope full of money, a photo of a woman and her address, and they leave. Before he knows what's happened, he's got this, and he can't catch up with the guy to give it back or to explain that there's been a mistake. And as he's sitting there pondering what to do about it, in comes the hitman who sees the envelope and mistakes our lead for the man who was going to hire him. So it's a case of double mistaken identity. That was the hook. That was the high concept. And then the question is, can you do something with that that really makes it worth a novel, that gives it substance, and that makes it not just fun to read for the premise, but fun to read for everything that evolves from it? That point, for me, it became what it always becomes with a novel. Who's the character? Who is this guy who's in the bar? And why are we interested in him? Because for me, character works only if you like the character, if you're charmed by him, if you wish he were a friend, and now I'm talking about the protagonist or the lead of the book, you want to not love and want to be friends with the antagonist, or in this case, who's a sociopathic killer. So I came up with Tim Character, who is the lead of this book, and I knew Tim would have some big secret in his past, and for a while I didn't know what it was, and I wanted to think, what kind of woman is this who's the would-be victim? What kind of person is she, and who is she? And I thought about her a while. As I began writing the book, these two characters came alive for me, largely through their sense of humor and through the mystery about both of them. And early in the book, it struck me, oh, I think I'm going to add another challenge for myself here. What if you were to write a book in which nothing is revealed about the backstories of any of the characters? What if the only way you learned these characters, who they are, what they are, what you think about them, was strictly through what they did and what they said. And what they said would not include anything about their past. Only little tidbits that would be slipped from their lips, perhaps. But basically, I thought, complicating this high concept, why don't I write this novel where you only find out about the backstories of the characters at the very end of the book, and then very succinctly, so that it doesn't interfere with action? And what if the mystery about who they are and what they are and why they're in this situation is part of the suspense of the story, unfolding that? And I revealed I was doing this to my editor, who seemed to feel she needed to go away and have a stiff drink, came back and said to me on the next phone call, you know what, I've thought about it, and if you think you can pull it off, I'll trust you, but I would normally be very distraught to think of somebody out there writing a book this way. So I had great fun with The Good Guy, not only in the characters, their sense of humor, their building relationship while they're on the run from a homicidal sociopath, but also hiding from you, the reader, in a naturalistic sort of way, what their true stories are and what their background are. And for me, always setting those challenges that you've never done before, what makes the book more fun to write than it otherwise might be. And then, of course, there's always the villain. And in this case, the villain is a singularly nasty piece of work. We don't even know his true first name. We only know his true last name, which is Krait. And if you wonder about that name, K-R-A-I-T, look it up in your dictionary, and you'll discover he might be even more villainous and dark and mysterious and strange than he seems to be in all of his scenes. But I was looking for something to make Krait look really unusual and different, and he did it for me, as characters always do. In the process of telling the story, he stood up, he became his own character, and he started doing something that I would never have imagined. In between episodes of action, when he needs to take a breather, or when he needs to hole up until he can rearm himself or be rearmed by his compatriots, he holes up in houses at which nobody's home. He lives in other people's houses, as you discover as the story goes. He does not have one of his own. He may find somebody that's away for a week and he lives in their house. Sometimes he lives there in a way that nobody would ever know he had been there, and other times he leaves them little helpful notes about the products they buy and use in their daily lives, which he finds inadequate. Or he leaves them little guidance messages related to things he's found out about their personal life by living in their homes. And as this character began to mature through the course of the story, I began to have the creepy idea one day. I came home and I saw things on my desk were not where I thought I had left them. And there was nobody in cleaning my office, and I had the strange feeling that Krait had been here or somebody like him. These three characters plus the add-ons, the walk-ons, the supporting cast, were some of the most enjoyable I've ever written. And I had a great time with this book, even though I always meet by self-doubt while working on a book. I never know if it works until the editor tells me it does and the publisher tells me it does and my wife tells me it does. I have to have that trifecta of approval, or otherwise I'm always going to doubt that the book worked. But in this case, I got all three of them. Happy with the book, and I hope you will be as well. Thank you very much. You can join me at www.deankuntz.com and see what I'm up to and what my dog Trixie's up to. And The Good Guy is in stores now.